Right, if you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to the Old Testament Ezekiel, a familiar passage to many, I'm sure, chapter 33. Here we have a message from the watchman, and I'm going to ask particularly the children amongst us, if you can listen this evening and go home and tell your parents, what is this message? Tell your parents what the message is. And tell your parents what can be done about the message. I challenge you to do that, to know what the message is. Here we have a message that Ezekiel has been given from God, and I would challenge you to tell your parents, what is that message that comes from God? So Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 to 20. We do note that earlier on in Ezekiel is not given much encouragement in the sense that it says in chapter 2, verse 5, and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And then in chapter 3, similarly, but the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me. Because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. And is that not what we are faced with today? A nation that has rejected God. They will not hear what God has to say. And I would wish the nation heard the message that we hear this evening, but we are gathered alone in that sense. But I would ask you the same. How have you come this evening? Have you come with a hard, rebellious heart that will not listen? Or will you hear what the Word of God says? Take a moment to think about that. Bob was talking to us about the Pharisees. They'd seen the wonderful miracles of God. And what was their response? They sought how they might get him. They wanted to kill him. Their hearts were hard. All they wanted was evidence against. And I would ask you this evening, have you come wanting evidence against Christ? Or have you come to hear the Word of God? It is the Word of God. It is sad, isn't it, that when we come to the Word of God and people hear it, they judge the Word of God and they say, well, I don't believe this little bit. I don't believe that. And go back to Genesis, but you don't really believe that, do you? It is the Word of God. It is to judge us. We are not to judge the Word of God. We are to listen to it. And I would ask you this evening, have you come to hear the Word of God? Are you ready to listen? The chapter before comes after God's prophesied warning of judgment coming to both the surrounding nations and Israel itself. But it also comes later, with a glorious promise of blessings on God and his people, a glorious future for the people of God. So let's look at this passage. First of all, we have the watchman in verses 1 to 6. And verses 1 to 6 is a kind of, I don't know if you've been in an office or worked in a place where you have to have loads and loads of policies. You have these policies written and someone writes them, and it's almost like a policy here, because God is saying, well, in a situation like this, this is what you must do. And the policy is put aside. And no one really looks at it. But here we have something that is a principle that God gives. Because later we see that this policy needs to be worked out. It needs to be something that's very clear. Because it has consequences. So in verses 1 to 6, we notice there are two responsibilities. First of all, there's the responsibility of the watchman. And then there's the responsibility of the hearer. God here gives the example of an invading army. If I should bring a sword upon the land. If I should bring a sword upon the land. So here's an example of an invading army. And the role in such circumstances of the watchman. If he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, the watchman is first of all to be alert. There are dangers potentially coming, and the watchman must be alert, keeping a lookout for the enemy. And then he's to raise the alarm, to warn of coming danger. He's to make sure that alarm is clearly heard, It's not a case of simply passing it on to someone and say, let people know, will you? It's making sure that it is heard. He's to leave nothing to chance. It's not like wanting to get in touch with someone and they're not in and you leave a message on the answer phone and you hope they get it, or you ping them an email and it goes into the junk box and we just hope that they will see it. No, the watchman's job is to make it very clear, to leave nothing to chance, to make sure that message gets through. It's got to be simple and clear. We remember whether we've lived through it or heard of it, through the great wars, there would be that sudden siren going, and everyone would know what that siren meant. Take cover, trouble is coming, into the shelters. It was made very abundantly clear. People knew what it meant. And this is, if you like, what we're seeing here. The watchman has to make everyone aware. The warning is going out. It must be clear. There is danger. Flee. And the gravity of it must be made known. In those days where the sirens went off, people knew what that meant. If I don't, there's a chance I'm going to die. The bombs are coming. I don't have any hope apart from fleeing to that shelter. It was a matter of life and death. So the watchman's job was to warn, to blow the trumpet, and to make sure everyone hears. And I want this evening everybody here to be clear what that message is from the Word of God. Secondly, there's the responsibility of the hearer. It's to listen. What is that message? God has given Ezekiel a message. We can say, well, that's interesting. But do we want to hear what this message is? So there's a responsibility to hear. And then there's to heed the message, to take action. It's no good filling your mind with the facts and saying, well, in this case, this is what God says. Well, what are you going to do about it? The Bible tells us that we're sinners. We need to flee from our sin. What are you going to do about it? And the message is very clear this evening as we come to it. But also, the hearer needs to know the consequences. Verse 4, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. But for those who heed, it says in verse 5, but if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. It is a matter of life and death, this message. So the message, the watchman, the point of the watchman, the message has got to go out, and the hearers, they need to hear. Now in this passage here, God gives them a scenario. If I bring the sword upon a land, this is what the watchman needs to do. This is what the people need to do. But then it becomes personal. He says, so you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Here we don't have the policy, here is the reality, in the sense that we need to listen to what God says and we need to respond to it. No response to God is still a response. We need to know that. If we do not listen to the word of God because, well, I don't believe that, or I don't believe that bit, or it's not that serious, and we start levelling accusations against God like they did here, you're not fair, God. We didn't know this. God tells us what we need to know. But there are consequences for ignoring it. Here is the reality, and it is personal. In verses 7 to 9, God reminds Ezekiel of his commission. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Dear friends, this evening, please take note that the warning is from God. Almighty God has a message for our land, our nation, our world. He has a message for us this evening. And we need to know it. It is my responsibility to bring it to you. It is your responsibility to listen, to heed, and to act upon it. And I would ask you this evening, dear people, are you listening? Do you dare ignore what God, the Almighty God, has to say? Again, the twofold warning to the prophet and to the hearer, those who proclaim the word of God. We need to be warned of the seriousness of proclaiming the gospel. It's not a God loves you gospel, and you leave people with this nice thought that God loves you. What does that mean to people? You see these bumper stickers, don't you, on cars, we used to in the 70s, God loves you. And people's response is, well, good for him. And I say that guardedly, but that is the attitude to people, as though it's doing God a favour loving us. You know, if that's what he wants to do, that's up to him. This is not this kind of gospel. It's not a God loves you gospel. Yes, God loves us. But what does that mean? Well, if we see our sins and the fact that God is willing to wipe them away, is that not love? What does he get out of it? He doesn't get anything out of it. It is his nature. He's a loving God. So we need to be very careful and we need to listen. The prophet, those who proclaim the word of God, need to know the seriousness of it. And I trust this evening there is nobody in here, young or old, that leaves this building without knowing what the message of the word of God is. If you don't understand, if I've not been clear, ask me. Ask someone that you know who knows these things. But do not leave without knowing what God says to us this evening. It is a matter of life and death. Proclaimers of the word of God and the gospel must be faithful. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I tell you to tell them, you tell them. And you tell them the whole gospel. The calling has to be faithfully discharged and fully, lest they come under God's judgment. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I shall require at your hand. So, dear people, this evening, the message, the warning, God says, O wicked man, O wicked man. This is a universal message and is all-inclusive because we are all wicked. By nature, we have sinned against a holy God time and time again. We only need to look at the commandments to see how we've broken them so many times. We look at our own lives and we see how we failed. We don't do, say, or think the things that we ought to. And the things that God tells us not to do, we do. I hope there is nobody in here this evening that doesn't understand that by nature we are wicked people. We are wicked. And we, by nature, will die in our sins. God says so. You shall surely die. Young and old, do you know that you are by nature in this state, that you will surely die because of your sins unless you come to Christ? This is the condemnation that all are under sin because of sin. And we preach this. It's not a popular thing, is it? People don't like to be told that they're sinners. It sounds doom and gloom, doesn't it? But as we were hearing this morning, Bob, there's the bad news, but then there's the glorious good news. And there is surely good news to come in what we've read this evening. So I'm not wanting to hold anything back from us, that by nature, God says, wicked man, you shall surely die. Why? Because of our sins. God is holy, we are sinful. and we cannot come to God because of our sins. It's as simple as that. But do you know that, dear people? There are people outside of this church, maybe people in this church, who are living lives that God hates. They're abominable to him, an abomination. And God says, O wicked man, you shall surely die because of those sins. Don't be under any illusion that we cannot just keep going on in our old ways and think that we're okay, because we're not. The Bible tells us that. But then to the hearer, we've got to receive this message. It's no good sitting in the pews. It's no good sitting outside and thinking, well, I think I know what the Bible says. We've got to do everything to grasp this. I remember as a teacher, I used to explain to the children. I'd have a little child sitting about that distance away from me where Bob is, and I'd take a rubber and I'd tell them to catch it. I'd say, do everything you can to catch this. And I'd throw it, and you'd see them maybe put out a hand. And I said, that's not doing everything that you can to catch this. I said, and I explained to them about teaching. I said, I could be the best teacher in the world, but it's absolutely useless if you don't want to listen to what I'm saying. I said, you need to move the chairs away so that if I throw the rubber to your side, there's no chair in the way or table that will hinder you. You're going to do everything. You might need to bow down. You might need to jump. Do all that you can to receive what I'm throwing at you. And I mention that as a kind of analogy. Dear friends, this evening, are you doing everything that you can to understand what this message is? Are you grasping hold of it? Are you saying, this is me? Yes, I'm the wicked person. I will surely die. What can I do about it? We must receive it. Judgment is coming, and we're in trouble because of our sins. A holy God is going to judge the world in righteousness. Oh, we don't like to hear these things. It's so negative, negative. That's the facts. How unloving would it be to tell you, well, don't worry, because God loves everybody. You just carry on. Don't worry. Jesus died. When he died to forgive everyone. No, no, no. He died for his people. Are you one of his people? Because if you're not, he didn't die for you. Your sins are still with you. Oh, dear friends, do you understand the gravity of this message that the Word of God proclaims? And it's over to you. What are you going to do with it? I'm proclaiming the Word of God to you. Forgive me if I've failed in anything, and if anything's not clear, come and ask me. But as far as I am able, I'm telling you what the Word of God says. And you may say, well, it sounds awful. It does, because it is awful. But there is glorious news. There is a glorious gospel, because there's a glorious Saviour. Do everything that you can, dear friends, to understand the gravity of this message. Ask, you young people, keep asking till you understand this message. I think it was last year, at the end of last year in New Zealand, there were 8 people that died. I'm sure there were more, but on White Island Volcano, there was a White Island Volcano eruption, and people were told, do not go to see the volcano, it is going to erupt. And they took no notice, and they went, they wanted to see it. Other people have gone to see it, why can't we? And they died because the volcano erupted. Dear people, this evening, don't let that be you that listens to the Word of God and thinks, well, it doesn't matter to me. We were reminded this morning, weren't we, the need to make sure that our hearts do not harden. Do not ignore the advice of the Word of God. Indeed, the command of the Word of God. So first of all, we have the watchman. We have the warning. But then we have glorious news. The way of escape. First of all, we see God's amazing mercy. Do you know God to be a merciful God? Well, he is a merciful God. We see God's mercy through this whole passage. Son of man, speak to your people. Why is that mercy? Why does God bother telling Ezekiel to tell them the message? Why doesn't he just wipe them out? Because he's a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. So you, Son of Man, I've made a watchman for the house of Israel. God has sent someone to proclaim the good news to his people. He bothers to tell us. Is that not mercy? Isn't that not gracious and loving? The question is, if we're in such a state, how can we live? Surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Dear friend, this evening, is that a question that you need to ask? How then can I live with all my sins weighed up against me and God's judgment and his justice? What hope have I got? How can I live? First, know that the Lord is full of mercy and grace. What does he say? Verse 11. If you're in any doubt about God's goodness, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Do not come with accusations against God that he doesn't care. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Where do you stand this evening? Have you asked the question, how can I live? Well, first of all, know that the Lord is full of grace and mercy. Second, God tells us how to escape. He doesn't just say, well, I don't want you to die, but, you know, sort yourselves out. He tells us how. We have the gospel. God tells us how we can avoid this condemnation. What does he say? He says, turn back. Turn back from your evil ways. And he even comes to them and says, why will you die, O house of Israel? There is no excuse. I'm telling you you're in danger. I'm telling you what you can do about it. Why will you die? Why don't you do what I tell you? He says, turn back. And that's his message this evening to us in the word of God. Turn back. Dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and you are under this condemnation, his message to you is turn back. Turn back from your wicked ways. Another word for that turning back is to repent. We come to God and we say, Lord, I see what your word says. I see the gravity of it. I see the awfulness of my sin. And I see that I deserve nothing but your judgment and condemnation. That's what I deserve. What hope have I got? Well, we have no hope of ourselves, but for a glorious Saviour. You can plead for God's forgiveness. But notice, it isn't a kind of insurance policy where you have some people say, well, if you say this little prayer, that you'll be a Christian. If you do this, you'll be a Christian. No, 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 no. We repent of our sins. We come to God and we plead for mercy. And the lovely thing is, he doesn't say, no, no, yep, yeah, you're a, no, no, yeah. What is his promise? All who come to him, he will never turn away. What a glorious gospel. We're vile sinners. God is willing not only to show mercy, and to tell us, he not only tells us that we can be saved, he tells us how. And he challenges us, why will you die? We need to repent. We need to come to him, plead for his forgiveness, and turn away from the wicked ways in which we walk. And we make Christ our Lord. We ask him to direct our lives. And instead of us sitting on the throne of our lives, directing and dictating what we're going to do, we say, Lord, please get on the throne of my life and you tell me what you want me to do. Here I am, your humble servant. I'm here for you. And we abandon ourselves to the Lord. Notice, your good works won't save you. Your good works will not save you. Why will your good works not save you? Because it's good to do God good works, don't get me wrong, but they won't save us because we're sinners. And the sin separates us from God. So it doesn't matter how much good we do, we're sinners and we're separated from God. So don't be under the illusion, well, I'll just try harder. You can't try harder. You need God's forgiveness. You need him. You need to plead with him. And also the scripture tell us that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If we come to God and say, look at all these things that I've done for you, Lord. You say, look, yeah, look how stained they are. They're like filthy rags. So don't be under any illusion that we can do nothing of ourselves except appeal to God's mercy. Only turning away from sin and towards God will save you. If the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live, he shall not die. That's a picture of someone who's repented, and they've given themselves over to the Lord, and said, I don't want to go my wicked way anymore, you help me, Lord. Forgive me, first of all, and then help me to walk in your ways. And there will be fruit of repentance. There will be a changed lifestyle. The things that we once did that offended God, they are a horror to us, and we don't want them anymore. And they might try and cling to us, but we want to get rid of them. And that brings us to be dependent upon our God. This evening, are you dependent upon God? You might be a Christian, but you think, well, I can do it alone, I'm saved. No, we need to be dependent upon God every moment of every day. Where do you stand this evening? We need to turn from our sins. So, first of all, we've seen the message of the watchman. We've seen the warning that he brings. We've seen the way of escape. The Lord Jesus Christ, he died on Calvary. Why? To bear the punishment of his people. The question is, are you his people? We say, well, who are his people? They are the ones who have turned, as God has said, turn from your wicked ways. Have you turned, and are you trusting alone in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? He will wipe away all of our sins, all that we deserve, the punishment for our sins. He will wipe them away, the Bible says. Do you know that for yourself? This evening I would just ask you in closing, where do you stand? First of all, the faithful watchman will tell you something that you may not want to hear, that you're a sinner and that you deserve God's judgment and it is coming. O wicked man, you shall surely die. The faithful hearer will respond, how then can we live? The repentant sinner will turn and live. Turn back from your evil ways. It does also put a responsibility on those that know the Lord. Because while I can proclaim this from the pulpit, if we are the Lord's, we're told in the New Testament that we're ambassadors for Christ. And we are to tell people to be reconciled to God. You want to take that seriously. If there are people that you know, tell them lovingly. Take every opportunity to tell them that God is an angry God at sin. You read Psalm 5, verse 5, you'll see what God thinks about sinners. Don't just think that God loves everybody in a sense that he does. He hates the wicked, workers of iniquity. Why? Because they repulse him, they offend him. And yet, even being offended, he is willing to forgive all who come to him. So I ask you this evening, if you know this forgiveness, will you be ready to tell others? Because it's our responsibility. It is our responsibility to tell other people. We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Tell those who are near to you and dear to you, friends, those in the workplace. Tell them this gospel message. If you've come in this evening and you do not know this Saviour, I beseech you, listen to the message that God says. Judgment is coming. You have no hope apart from Christ. And may Christ be to each one of us our all in all. May we come to him understanding the gravity of this passage, but understanding the glory of a Saviour who died that we might be forgiven, who died to do us good, as the hymn writer says, that we might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood. Amen.